Thank you. And Sam is going to come and give us our reading for today.
Luke chapter 15, verse 11 to 31. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen in that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. For he was lost and he is found.' So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him, 'What was going on?' 'Your brother has come,' he replied, 'and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him safe and sound.' The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, 'Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never even give me a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home and you kill the fattened calf for him,' the father said, 'You are always with me and everything I have is yours.'"
Thank you, Sam. And Matt's going to come with.
Okay, let's pray. Father, thank you for the children and the young people in this church. Thank you for those who work with them and allow them to grow spiritually week by week and day by day. As we look into your word, Lord, be with us so that we too may grow spiritually. Amen. I always enjoy the children's and young people's celebration service. Get to see all the children do what they've been doing in the past years and so. And then they usually get, you know, traditionally a mature, responsible adult to then sort of do the speech. Not sure what's happened here. I think there's been an admin error, but you're stuck with me. So the prodigal son is a story that I think the majority of us are fairly familiar with. It's a story that I particularly enjoy because it's quite powerful, because I think that every time that you listen to it, every time that you read it, or it's being performed or whatever, I think you take something new from it every time. So it's easy enough, isn't it, when we think about the story, that we can see ourselves as the prodigal son. We all know enough about loss, about the mistakes that we make, and the roads that we choose that lead to ruin and to heartache. We know what it is to wake up one day and realise that perhaps we've wandered so far from who we are, who we hope to be, and who we may belong to. It seems that we are so lost and we are unable to be found. Likewise, the father figure, we sort of understand him as well. We understand that he is a representation of God, a representation of his love for us, and serves as a reminder that no matter how far we fall, that God is always there and he welcomes us back, not only with open arms, but with a great joy. But the older brother, I don't think we understand him in quite the same way. He's not a sympathetic character in this way. We can understand his response. You know, of course he's going to be angry. You know, he's the one that stayed at home, did all of the housework, did all the work out in the fields for his father. And he comes in every night, sees his father's heartbreak again and again every night, as he looks down the road, waiting for his son that never seems to come back. And the older son is angry every night. He comes in tired, sweaty, probably if he's in this weather, and sore-muscled from the fields, hoping for the eyes that will be turned to him and appreciate his homecoming. But instead, the father's eyes are turned down the road. It's almost like the older son saying, I take care of him day and night. I work the farms. I do all the housework. And what do I get? More work. It's so easy to see the older son's point of view that we never really understand him being just as lost as the younger son. Just as lost as the younger son. You see, in just two short sentences towards the end of the story, it reveals just how lost the older son really is. First thing he says, after all these years, I've been slaving away for you. Notice how he doesn't say, all these years I have loved you, all these years I've been honoured to be your son. He says he doesn't say that he's looked up to him or adored his father. It gets worse. Moving on, he says, I've never disobeyed your orders. Orders? Is that how he views this father-son relationship? It doesn't even dawn on him how this statement may be coming across. That's just how lost he is. You see, the father doesn't want to have the obedience. He doesn't want his service. He just wants to have that love. He wants to be in a relationship with that son. He just can't see it. Moving on, he keeps digging. He says, and you never. Now, who even uses that language? Unless that person has been counting in some way, or unless that person has been earning. The type of person that lives in a world where they view a gift given to someone else is a gift lost to themselves. You never is the kind of language of someone that is trapped in a world of recognition and competition, constantly keeping track of the score of what they've got and what they've not got. It appears that the son is almost comparing himself to his other brother. And finally, when this son of yours returns, he can't even say the word brother. His judgment is so fierce, so hate-driven, that he can't even acknowledge the possibility that this other son is in fact related to him. He's trapped in this unforgiving world. Within that world, there is no chance for repentance, no possibility of conversion, and therefore no hope for redemption in which to trust. Do you know what I find the hardest part of this story? Is that this is the world that we and other people can have on the world today. It's a view that we can have. We live in a world where people believe that they have to somehow earn people's love. And because of that, they've learned to turn their judging eye not only outwards to other people, but inwards, towards themselves. And what those people see when they look at themselves, it's always lacking. It's never enough. Always trying to better ourselves. And so when we fail, we become our own worst enemy. Just like that of the older brother. Harsh and unforgiving. Perhaps you know the mentality of the older son in your relationship with God. Or at least part of it. Perhaps there have been moments where your world seems empty of compassion. Completely devoid of relationships. And trapped in a cycle. Constantly trying to earn God's love. But never quite seem to be enough. Sounds all a bit doom and gloom, doesn't it? I'll be honest. But there is good news. You see, the same father in the story that had that perfect and forgiving love for his younger son, for his flaws, and sought him out when he was lost, he also seeks us. Just as he left that party long ago to meet with the older son, he still leaves that banquet table, the dancing, the parties, and meets with us, wherever we are, with that same gentle invitation. Come to the feast. Come to the banquet. Don't you know? Everything I have, including my love, has always been there for you. There is enough of the fattened calf to go around for everyone. You see, we must celebrate and rejoice, because I had two sons who were lost, and now are found. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that in your love we are enough for you. Thank you that despite our failings, you call out to us. And thank you that when we feel lost, we can be found in you. In you we can rejoice and be glad, safe in the knowledge that you wipe away our sins with your perfect love. Amen.